The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
For over 10 years, and almost 500 episodes, the NAWC, always on.
Gentlemen, Nikki Haymon said, because I talked so fucking much last week, and sorry, Josh, I want to apologize to you in public right here, and next time you're on, I'll just record, I won't even say a word. She said, because she had an assignment, I get to host the show this week. And it's a pretty newsworthy week here on the NAWC, as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. And I have two of my best buds with me. First of all, Brother Henniger, how are you?
Is it not a beautiful day, people?
No.
Yay, yes. So you hush your mouth, you heathen. First thing I want to say to all of the NAWC listeners is, I love you.
You are a sick man. Just saying. You are nuts.
Wait. The clinic said I was... Oh, never mind. That's other... Oh, you meant the other kind of sick. Okay.
Yes.
How awkward.
Yes. How very, very awkward. Just got to tell you, it was that was an incredible costume. Really good stuff.
Yeah, those of y'all who don't know what happened, I was Brother Love for Halloween this year, and I tweeted it to Brother Bruce Pritchard. He did not reply, but apparently Conrad Thompson thought it was amazing.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I just want to make sure. Oh, there we are. I just wanted to make sure we were on and we're okay. That's good. I just needed to know where we were, because I need to talk to the man on the other side of the world, Mr. Shane Beeman. What's up, sir?
Oh, nothing much except for stupid releases, but we'll get to that in a second.
Yes, well, let's start with that, actually. Because on, what was it, Monday, I think? Or was it Sunday? Sunday or Monday? We got the news that three people got released. Darren Young, kind of expected. Summer Rae, again, kind of
expected.
But Emma, not so expected, even though it was supposedly in the plans for a little while. I'll ask Shane. I know you're a fan of Miss Tennille, I believe her name is, right?
Tennille Dashwood, yes. Yeah, no, Tennille's an amazing wrestler, and she's worked her ass off to get the Emma gimmick over, whether it be face or heel. And the only reason why she had backstage heat, and this is just me guessing here, ladies and gentlemen, it's not me saying fact, is more than likely because when the writers came up to her and gave her this whole fucking Emelina gimmick, she told them to shove it. Hence the reason why she was had it for so short a time. Because we had months and months of build-up for it, and she's probably fighting to keep her Emma gimmick backstage and said, I'm not fucking doing this shit. So, yeah, she's got backstage heat because of that. And, yeah, apparently the writing was on the wall for a while, and now she loses twice to Asuka, but in good matches.
Very good matches.
Not,
Very good. Yeah, highly competitive.
In competitive matches, not in burial matches, and yet they release her. Makes fucking sense.
Brian, how shocked were you on this one? Because I was.
I was surprised. I mean, they had done a lot to build up Emma. They had done the whole Emelina gimmick. I mean, we'd heard rumors that she was kind of in the doghouse with WWE for a while, but, you know, it seems weird that they would put somebody over. I mean, she lost the matches, and ultimately it put Asuka over, but it didn't make her look like a schmuck when she fought Asuka both of those times. I thought this was going to lead to maybe a program or something, and now you find out, boom, she's gone. I mean, that, it's just, it's one of the many things in this wonderful business of ours that does not make a lick of sense.
It was also one of those things where you also, to me, this is also going to, and maybe you'll agree with me, Brian, on this. Brian and Shane, that this reminds me of when Damian Sandow got released. Because you had Damian Sandow, who was a very good worker, and his character got over, and Emma was starting to get over, and then this. Do you guys agree with me or not?
This essentially talking about two different beasts here. I mean, Damien Sandow got his character changed so many times. Everyone was like, what the hell's going on? And he wrestled, but he was mainly known for his comedy stuff rather than the wrestling, whereas Emma was more known for her wrestling rather than her comedy shtick.
And so, the thing was, he was starting to get over in the comedy shtick.
Oh, he was. Don't get me wrong.
The stunt double was amazing.
Mizdow. Mizdow is what got him majorly over. I agree on some levels. Yeah, it's sort of like the Damien Sandow situation where you've got someone that's getting over and you release them. But yeah, I still believe it's bullshit because there are so many women in the back that could have got released before fucking Emma. I mean,
like who?
Like, okay. I do realize that she's going through some personal shit right now.
Dana Brooke.
Dana Brooke hasn't been utilized at all lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Summer Rae wasn't one I was surprised with. You got some like ones down in NXT that hell aren't even being used. Like that Mandy Rose chick, I keep seeing appreciation posts for her, but I haven't seen her on NXT like TV or Raw or SmackDown TV at all. Well, so if you're not gonna use her, piss her off.
So Brian, where do you think she's gonna go? Where do you think, is she taking independent bookings now?
Well, once your NDC runs out, yeah, obviously she'll do that. She may show up probably in Shimmer or Sparkle.
Yeah, and I think she's going to do very, very. I really think this was a very big not a big mistake, but I think it was a mistake.
It just seems bad because she was just starting to find her footing, but I think she had just made too many mistakes behind the scenes, and you know, unfortunately, with WWE, and this is unfair to some of the workers. You know, once you have this reputation of being a quote unquote troublemaker, it's really hard for it to be undone.
Pretty much.
Tell that to Enzo Amore.
Oh, we're gonna get to that.
Well, he's getting it. Well, look, his water is getting a whole lot hotter. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, it is. His water is definitely getting a bit hotter. But speaking of hot water, let's go over to Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
So we start the show with Kurt Angle apologizing to the Raw roster for putting them in harm's way after the attack by the SmackDown roster. But
by the way, I really hesitate to say this yet. I thought, you know, the more I've seen that, that angle, the more I like it. I thought that was actually a really cool thing to do because this is the first time they've really built up the brand split since they did it again.
Mm-hmm. It was good, but here's what I found funny about it. You had the whole Raw roster out there, yet it was only 6 to 8 of them that got their asses kicked. So what the fuck are other people doing out there?
Well, like, I know, but
it's like a board meeting. It's like a board meeting, you know? It's like 4 people screwed up, but everyone in the department has to listen to it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I get that, but I saw Finn Balor standing front row, and I'm like, dude, you weren't even there to get your ass kicked. I'm pretty sure you were heading towards
the next. You know what? As a matter of fact, there's a you know what? There's something that has to be said for that, which we'll get to in a minute. So Kurt Angle was, you know, going, look, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't know what to do. And guess who makes her return? That would be one Stephanie McMahon, who comes back to basically say, Kurt, what the fuck are you doing? You know, where is the intensity and integrity and intelligence you were supposed to have? And she said, I'm supposed to, you know, I think I could give you the fourth eye, which is incompetence. And he's like, I'm sorry. So she says, all right, fine. You want to make it up to me? One, you better kick my brother's ass. And two, you're the captain of Team Raw. And I'm like, okay, guys, interesting. You like this, right? Brian, you said. You like this.
Well, I liked the way they did it last week where they, you know, where it was something I didn't see coming. I didn't expect that they were going to do that kind of thing. So it was kind of cool. And I like the fact that, I mean, look, we know Angle can still go somewhat.
Somewhat.
I mean, if they keep him in a limited capacity, which a 5-on-5 match will do, I'm sure, you know, it'll be a limited capacity and he won't be exposed too much. And I hate to say expose one of my all-time favorite in-ring competitors, but, you know, age hurts all of us.
That's true.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be a limited capacity for much longer because this is leading to possibly, like from what we're hearing rumor-wise, this is possibly leading to Angle versus Triple H at Mania.
Ooh, interesting. Well, we're going to talk about Triple H in a second.
But there is one thing I want to say, and this is just because I'm not a big fan of Stephanie McMahon. Whenever I see her walk out with that angry Botoxed up face, all I can think of is this.
Yeah, okay, fine.
but the thing is, she's a very effective heel because she can make you hate her, and that's the job of a heel. Wow.
That is the job of a heel. So Angle is pissed. And so then so then he's walking out and the Miz and the Miztourage show up. By the way, welcome back, Bo. You're healthy. Welcome and welcome back, JoJo, by the way. You're healthy too. So he's like, Kurt's like, where the fuck have you been? It's like you guys weren't even around when Raw was getting their ass kicked. So you're gonna fight a member of my choosing for the Intercontinental title. He's like, who is it? He's like, you'll find out when you get there. So then he has a very good match with Matt Hardy and beats him. I'm like, all right, fine. And he's like. And then he and the Miz go backstage. The Miz and the Miztourage go backstage. And guess what they find, Brian?
Somebody's been taking out the trash.
That's correct. So, Shane, Miz is like, it's like, you're...
Miz acted like Spider-Man for fucking 5 seconds. He's like, he's here.
Like, his Mizzy Braun sense Strowman. Was tingling.
My Miz sense is tingling. Braun Strowman's here.
Yes. And
something? I'll say it. They found a way to make a bag of garbage and a garbage truck foreboding. They found a way to do it.
Yes, they did. But we'll get there. So he's like, look, I'm out of here, and we're getting out of here. And it, so what happens is they try to sneak out, and it's like it's like Kurt's the principal who catches your kid when they're about to cut class, okay? And he's like, you're staying the rest of the show. And like, what about Braun Strowman? He says, well, and this line was – and this line was used a lot. You're on your own, kid. So
they like that line from a Blazing Saddles. Son, you're on your own.
Yes. So then Miz starts to walk around, and he runs into Kane, and Shane Kane's like, and Miz is like, hey, buddy, teammate, what's going on? You got to help us out. You know, help when Braun. He goes, Braun knows where to find me. But what about me? You're on your own. And then, Shane, they run into the bar, who tells him,
son, you're on your own.
You're on your own.
Right. So, Kurt tells him, you have to stay to the end of Raw. And in the end of Raw, Mickie James lost to Alexa Bliss in a very good title match. So they try to leave. And in another obvious pre-taped film segment, right?
Yeah, so this is the only problem that people had with this fucking segment.
Yeah, okay.
Was that Braun Strowman came out looking clean. It's like, this guy doesn't look like someone that's been in, got chucked into the trash and got compacted. Like, he's got no scratch marks or anything on him. He looks like normal Braun Strowman. What the hell? It's like,
you know what? It's a horror movie. It's a horror movie. It's Halloween. Okay? Right? I had no issue with this. So he comes out and beats the holy hell out of the Miztourage. To the point where it was announced later on, and there's a little spoilerific here, he's going to be part, he's the first member of Team Raw. Along with what did you think of that whole? I love that whole Miz segment during throughout the show. Didn't you guys?
I did. I mean, they did it really well because the Miz. I mean, because again, as I said, they found a way to make a garbage can. A garbage truck foreboding. They found a way to do it, and it was. And it, I mean, look, you know. Everyone takes wrestling so seriously. Every so often, a segment like that is okay. And it works, and it gets over Braun Strowman as the Destroyer of Worlds, and I thought it was awesome.
Speaking of segments that, you know, were okay, you know, per se, the annual Trick or Street Fight, excuse me, with the club and Rhino and Heath Slater. My God, there were so many things wrong with this.
Yeah, I mean, they. I give them points for at least dressing up the club as Chad Too Bad and Tex Ferguson from Southpaw.
Yep.
Great. I thought that was awesome. That was wonderful. I thought it was really very Slater-esque that for a Halloween event, he would dress up as Santa Claus.
Yeah. We did not need to see Rhino's underpants, okay?
Or the fact that Rhino was wearing makeup and nylons.
Yes.
Although those images will forever be a favorite in the playground of my mind. But anyway... Did I say favorite? I mean hated. Never mind. Anyway.
Shame.
But they brought out all the stuff. I mean, I'm sorry. They brought out all the stuff. They had the candy,
pies.
They had the candy corn painted kendo sticks.
Yes.
They had like a cup. I don't know how many pumpkins, like real pumpkins.
Yes, I know. It was crazy. Shane, you had to have laughed at that.
I did. I took this match for what it was. It was a gimmick match and just a filler match for the show. And it was good. I found it entertaining. Was I expecting to see broad technical wrestling with this? No. But as Brian said, there are some people that just take this shit way too seriously. And hell, some people even went as far as to say that this was the worst match of the year. I was like, if you're expecting this to be an actual wrestling match, then you, sir, need a brain.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, Corey Graves was great not calling it, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Corey Graves was no selling the match, and I love that part. And there was so much, you know, you do need some sort of just bullshit, especially on a holiday week, which we'll get to on SmackDown even better, because somebody stole your gimmick. Okay.
Yes, and I'm pissed as hell about it.
Okay. Well, all right. We'll get there. We'll get there.
I'm not really.
I don't know if they stole Brian's gimmick or the Oompa Loompa gimmick. This was because his face was just.
Yeah, I know. But we did, like I said, we did have some returns. Nia Jax is back, you know, tilling the rumors. Oh, and by the way, the club is on the European tour. They're not leaving the WWE yet. Okay, that was news with a Z. Just saying. Okay.
Yeah, I do believe they're probably a bit annoyed because, like, they're probably enjoying playing the whole Texas too bad and that. But eventually they're gonna be like, dude, we used to be respected in Japan and multi-time tag team champions. Now we're just seen as jokes here in WWE.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you completely. But we got a return of a Samoa Joe. And he looked
that
good too.
That was awesome.
I forgot who he crushed.
He crushed
Oh, Apollo Crews.
Yeah, Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil.
Yes, and he was dominant in doing it, and he should be in the world title hunt, thank you very much. But now, some very interesting things happening. As we said, Bray Wyatt's on the European tour. But as we all know, that we're pushing Kane versus Braun Strowman at Survivor Series, I believe. Let me just double check my. I don't know. At least soon. I don't know what is going to happen here, but Kurt Angle's in his office, and guess who shows up? It's Daniel Bryan. And he's like, look, I said it last week. I didn't have anything to do with it. And Kane's and Kurt Angle is like you, Shane, which you would say, this is bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. And then we go back to Daniel later on, who is now standing there in the dark talking to who I assumed was Brie Bella, who's in Phoenix, Arizona, taking care of their daughter.
Right. Who, by the way, didn't they just launch some sort of clothing line or makeup?
Yeah, Birdie B clothing line. Yeah.
That's a baby clothing line, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So she's busy, you know, getting all the marketing stuff, and he's telling her, you know, look, I'm fine. You know, the lights go out, and then, oh boy.
And he's just like, hang on a sec, honey. I'm going to have to call you back. Something's wrong. He's like, Captain fucking obvious.
He's Captain fucking obvious because the lights are out and the mayoral candidate decides to choke slam, in quotes, because you don't see it. Daniel
Which,
Bryan.
By the way, the way they did that was impressive. I mean, I don't know how they pulled that off. But it looked, I mean, because they did it with the sounds and everything. It was very convincing.
It was very convincing and I think also very smart. In other words, Daniel took a bump. You see the, I'm using my, you know, I'm using air quotes for it. Okay. And Kane gets over as a monster.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Love it. That's fine. I'm assuming they addressed that on SmackDown a little bit.
Yeah, they did. Shane McMahon came out and said, okay, well, you guys attacked Daniel Bryan. Well, now there's going to be hell to pay at Survivor Series.
And then Shane also said that he is a captain. He is. So we may get McMahon angle two, at least somewhat, in there a little bit.
Yeah.
It won't be as bizarre. It won't be as wild as King of the Ring 2001, which I was there for, by the way, in the Meadowlands. Crazy, crazy match. Oh my God!
Insanity that match.
Yes, there was so much. Yes, exactly.
And if you watch the behind the curtain special that they did for that as well with Shane and Kurt, you'll realize how insane it was, especially with. We come to find out that both Shane and Kurt were both injured during that match and still finished the damn thing.
Crazy.
Well, and Vince McMahon was apparently this close to stopping the match.
Really?
He actually was very, according to Watt Culture, he was extremely close to just walking out and saying it's a no contest and stopping it because he was that scared for Shane's well-being.
Kurt had a fucked up tailbone during the match because when Shane McMahon suplexed him on the ramp, his tailbone popped out, and he was just in complete agony. And that's the reason why the first attempt at chucking Shane through that glass didn't work out, because he didn't have the strength for it.
And then Shane landed on,
Shane landed on the back of his head, and. Like, it hit really hard. It was like a big, even Kurt heard it. Shane,
yeah, I know.
Like,
he's like, what the hell are you doing? Yes. Put it to you this way. Shane versus Kurt in the main event of Survivor Series, you know, we shall see. It's going to be very, very, very interesting.
I think it's going to be safe to say the main event of Survivor Series is going to be Interferpalooza.
Oh God, yeah, Interferpalooza. But we'll get to there. So, couple of other things about Raw. They announced, which by the way, I have tickets for. My dad and I are going. They announced the 25th anniversary Raw show. Which is going to take place, I believe, on January 22nd, in two places. One, the Barclays Center, and two, at the Manhattan Center, which is where the original Raw took place back in the day. And those things are going to sell out real fast, and rumors that pretty much anybody who is anybody is going to try and be there, including Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker may make an appearance.
Oh, no, it's confirmed he's going to be there.
Okay. He's going to be there, which could set up a WrestleMania match. I don't know. But 25 years. Insane. That's going to be
very insane. Very insane. And you know what? The longevity of Raw is something a lot of people, I don't think, expected.
No, they did not. It's going to be right now. Have you guys been following the back and forth between Miz and Baron Corbin on Twitter?
Hell yes. And this is what makes me want to watch this match.
All right, let's talk about it. Because both of them are actually doing great work on here, don't you think?
Well, they are.
Miz always does great work, but this and as Miz said in his video, this is by far the best promo work we've ever seen from Baron Corbin, and it's a shame that we don't get that on SmackDown. Instead, we have to watch Instagram or Twitter to get a good promo from Baron Corbin.
Yep. But yeah, I love it. But if they keep doing this, it'll be great. I can't wait for it. Fine. I'm okay with this. This is great stuff. This is really great stuff. And it makes, and you're right, it makes me want to see the match more. And I'm good. I'm okay with this. I'm very okay with this. So, so Raw, Raw and SmackDown, by the way, are both in Europe. They are on their twice a year, 2 week hell of, you know, this is not exactly as fun as people make it out to be. Okay. This is a 2 week tour. So Roman is still sick and he won't be back for a couple more weeks. But as we said, Bray Wyatt's back. The Miz Taraj is back. But the Shield, is missing one member. So they really couldn't bring Kurt on. Well, I mean, they'll probably bring Kurt on tour. But they needed help. So the code that you would hear now is Sierra Hotel Husband Head of Creative India Echo Lima Delta.
No, it's like it would have gone like Sierra Hunter Hurst Helmsley India. It's
like, okay, that's true. Okay, that one too. As we had Triple H, who, by the way, I think, wasn't that the first time he has worn pants as trunks in how long?
Since about 1999.
It depends. If you count like the short tights that he wore like back in 2004 with his Goldberg feud. It's been about 13 years. So over a decade.
So I don't know if this is happening in all the cities, but at least for one night, Triple H was a member of the Shield. And good on Seth Rollins for continuity in this. Because you heard about the promo, right, guys?
I did not.
I saw the promo.
So tell us about it, Shane. You're here? We
live. Yeah, basically, Seth Rollins had come out with Dean Ambrose, and he's holding the vest, and he said, unfortunately, Roman Reigns can't be here tonight, but as has been taught to me, you always need a plan B. Cue Triple H's music, and out he comes.
And he also said, I think it was either after or before, he said, this was a call I never thought I would make. Okay.
He's like, this is a call I never thought I'd have to make, but that's when he went into the hole. But as I had been taught through my career, you always need a plan B, and then bam.
And of course, he and the Shield, Cesaro takes the pin, and there was a little bit of a Shield, a Triple H Shield. That was pretty fucking surreal. That was pretty damn surreal. Never in a million years would I thought that one, because I knew he was going. We knew he was going over, but we didn't know in what capacity he was going to be in. So, pretty fun stuff.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was awesome.
Yeah. Can I just say something about this though? Because, like, certain number threes are trying to take the fun out of this, and they're saying that Triple H joining the Shield and Kurt Angle joining the Shield is damaging the actual Shield return.
Bullshit. Please. Okay, what it's doing is actually, if I put it to you this way, let me just, hey, number threes, here's a little something for you, bro. And may I possibly take your words for a second, if that's please. Okay? Okay. It is not taking away from the Shield. It is actually enhancing the Shield brand. Because you're not going to put a no-name numbnuts as the third member of the Shield, right? You're going to get somebody big.
Of course you are.
And Roman is so big that you need Triple H or Kurt Angle to replace him. Right?
Absolutely.
Idiots. Idiots, idiots, idiots. I'm just going to go off heads for like 2 seconds. Brian, why don't you start talk about the SmackDown costuming that happened. I'll be right back.
Okay, Shane, now you saw SmackDown, right?
Yeah, I saw SmackDown, definitely.
Okay, well, you got to catch me up. Some of these costumes that were worn, first of all, you had the New Day. And I love the fact that you had Kofi as Brother Love. By the way, thank you for stealing my gimmick. But you had Big E as Akeem the African Dream.
Yes.
Which, that was awesome that they got that. And they are still in their feud.
And hang on. We can't forget Xavier Woods was Jimmy Hart, the mouth.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Xavier Woods was Jimmy Hart. He had like a heart print suit, which, by the way, I found you can actually buy those at a store called opposuits.com. And he even had the megaphone.
But yeah, had the megaphone too, yep.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, he had the megaphone too, and yeah, it was actually a pretty entertaining segment with them and Rusev and Aiden English.
Exactly. Which, by the way, I love the fact that Aiden English still has the they still have the print. He still has like the painting print tights that he wears.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, one thing we forgot to mention from Raw.
Yeah, go ahead.
I like the fact that they're still in the bit with Elias and his guitar getting destroyed.
Yes.
And I see, in my head, I had this idea that he was going to warn Jason Jordan, don't you dare put a hand on my guitar. Don't you put a finger on my guitar. And Jason says, okay, fine, I promise. Puts it down. I won't put one hand on your guitar.
Foot
stomps and goes, and then he gets angry and he says, I didn't put a hand on it.
Yeah, because of that action, now next week on Raw, we have Jason Jordan versus Elias in a guitar on a pole match.
Yay. I said ? Yay. All right.
Did they hire Vince Russo again?
No. No.
Oh, by the way, speaking of guitars and people who famously use them, I think we should point this out. Good on WWE for doing this. I don't know if y'all heard, but Jeff Jarrett has entered rehab for his alcohol problems, and WWE is paying for it.
Yes, we did hear that. I think we talked about it last week. Brian, did we say?
Yes, that we did.
We did say WWE was, yeah.
And it's part of the wellness policy.
Yeah, it's part of the wellness policy, and I think, yeah, and it is very, very, very cool. Although people are, you know, right before Bound for Glory, people are going, you know, jumping ship yet again.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Contractual obligation for TNA. So we had Akeem the African Dream. We had Brother Love, sort of, and we had Jimmy Hart.
What do you mean, sort of, Brother Block?
Because you did the better job, you think. That's why. I mean,
I think we can all agree I wore it better.
Yes, you did. But we had, now, I have a very interesting question for you, Mr. Beeman. We all know that Bobby Roode beat Dolph Ziggler in a 2 out of 3 falls match to be part of Team SmackDown.
Yes.
And the rumor is that was his last match, maybe, ?
Yeah, there's been apparently writing on the wall for ages that, Ziggler's got one foot out the door. I don't want to see Ziggler go because he's one of the he is what he says he is. He's one of the hardest and best workers there on the roster. I just want to see him get a goddamn push. Like, hell, even if it's for the US title, I don't care, but give him a championship run. He deserves at least that.
They use him in commercials. He does steal the show every time he's, you know, in on stage. But Brian, do you think he's going to go? Do you think he's going to renew? Because I think he's going to go. I really do.
As who knows? I don't know anymore. He is supposed to have been retiring or leaving 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But he keeps staying around. I think he keeps staying around because he knows, you know, no other company will pay him as much as he can make in WWE. And he didn't want to work the independents. And, you know, Mr. Perfect was one of those guys who never had a proper world championship reign. But he was with the company and he was a dependable worker. I think that Ziggler, because he has all these outside interests, like doing stand-up comedy or whatever, I think he's okay with, you know, being just a guy that's a workhorse and can get good matches out of anybody. And I'm sure that, and you know what, maybe it will lead to something in the future. But I don't know if he's going to leave or not, because we've been on this road before. He's still there. I don't know.
Agreed. Agreed. So we had, but it was also very interesting is that one fall happened during the quote unquote commercial break. How do you like them apples? That was cool. You like that?
What are you talking about?
Well, the 2 out of 3 falls match with Ziggler and Rude.
Oh, yes. Apparently.
One of it was during the
break.
The commercial
break. Because, yes, you know, that's cool because if you remember, they used to always say, used 2 years ago, they would say, if a pinfall or commercial, if a pinfall submission happened during the commercial, we will show it to you on instant replay. And they never, ever, ever did. This is one time that it did. And if anything, it gets over, hey, you know what? Don't miss the shows live because you might miss something.
There you go. That's right. So we have, and of course, Nakamura is now on the SmackDown team. So we pretty much have this, and again, some of this is spoilerific. So for the next few minutes, if you don't like spoilers, just go away, grab a drink, and this is talking about what we're going to see over the next couple of weeks. Okay, so here we go. The Universal versus WWE Championship match is going to have a special guest referee, and that's been rumored for weeks. And ha, kids, his name is John Cena.
Okay, but hang on. Let's just say that this might be news with a Z at the moment because it hasn't been 100% confirmed yet.
Right. Again, this is all news with a Z per se. Okay. We all know that this week Nikki Bella was eliminated from Dancing with the Stars, so we may see her return soon as well. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, but it's not what people may think.
Oh?
Yes, because for anyone that's watched Total Divas, watched the Total Divas premiere, Nikki Bella's made it quite clear on there that her in-ring days are most likely done. Mm-hmm. So now she
because
is
as we
going,
all know, whenever something is shown on a reality TV show, it's completely legit and not at all a work.
yes, Brian. But no, but because with Nikki Bella, it is most likely true because her neck is pretty like messed
good
up.
Point. It's, good point.
It's pretty much like Edge neck. So what they've like got people going in people's heads now is that Nikki Bella may take Daniel Bryan's place as SmackDown general manager.
Oh God, that would be awful.
I don't know. I could see Nikki Bella pulling it off.
Okay.
If like I could see her, because we've seen what Nikki Bella can do as a bitch heel. We've seen her do brilliant work as a heel. So yeah, I'm interested to see, because as you saw with the whole Shane McMahon Daniel Bryan incident, obviously there's tension between them. So
right. I think grab me a quick drink. I'll be right back.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I think you're gonna see with this Survivor Series, it's pretty much gonna be like a who gets to keep their job match, either Kurt Angle or Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. So that could be interesting. So we also have the potential for one second. So we also have the potential of knowing who's going to be on team. And again, all news with a Z right now. Okay. Some of it is. We have, of course, Enzo Amore and Kalisto are going to get another rematch for the Cruiserweight Championship. We did Rollins and Ambrose versus the Usos, Miz versus Baron Corbin, and Alexa versus Natalya. SmackDown, the Women's Championship, it's Raw with the captain, Alicia Fox, who was really a captain this week, with Nia Jax and 3 to be announced versus Becky, Charlotte, Naomi, Tamina, and Carmella in an elimination match. And Team Raw is going to be Kurt Angle, rumored to be, and Braun Strowman, and the rumored 3 are Balor, Reigns, and Samoa Joe, versus Team SmackDown with Captain Shane McMahon, with Randy Orton, who won, Bobby Roode, who won, AJ Styles, who won, and Nakamura, who won. What matches are you looking forward to right now?
I'm looking forward to the main event. It'll be interesting to see, especially if you're going to have Finn Balor and AJ Styles on opposite sides, because this is definitely leading to another AJ Styles versus Finn Balor feud, probably at WrestleMania, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
The women's match I'm looking forward to, as far as who the 3 competitors are going to be for Team Raw, I'm automatically going to say it's going to be Bayley, Sasha, and maybe Asuka.
Yeah.
The women's title match, the women's champion versus champion match, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Not to say it's not because they're, because both women are very talented, but it's just not a match that really interests me.
Okay.
Miz versus Corbin, like I said, the Twitter feuds definitely beefed it up for me. The tag team champion match.
That's going to be fun.
That's going to be match. I reckon that's going to be match of the night. I'll go as far as to say I reckon it might be match of the night. And as for Enzo Amore versus Kalisto, I don't care. It's basically fucking either Kalisto wins it again and Enzo is in the doghouse, or this is all bullshit and Enzo's just fucking proven that you can be a dick and still get over.
Mm. Well,
speaking of Enzo, can I say how much I loved the segment they did with him and Drew Gulak?
Which one, last week or this week?
This week, where basically he's trying to turn Gulak into like his new tag team partner, and Gulak is trying to, you know, be more like those hip happening kids that do fun stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like he says, and I've only got one word to describe you, and I'm going to spell it out. S-O-F-T, soft.
And he's smiling real big, and Enzo just goes, "I don't."
He doesn't go, "How you do?" He says, "Don't do that again. Don't do that again. Don't ever do that again." You know?
Now, because the thing about it, because I am a wrestling nerd, this is a similar gimmick that Gulak was working for Combat Zone Wrestling. He had a gimmick when he was at ZZW where he put together this thing called the, quote, Campaign for the Better Combat Zone.
Oh, okay.
And the whole idea was he was against everything ZZW stood for. Like, when he became ZZW champion, he would, like, discourage the fans from... like discourage people from using weapons. He like was the most ultra dorky Kurt Angle style, you know.
So this is a retread of his angle.
Sort of, yes. But it works very well.
Well, yeah, because he's a dork. He's a dick, which works here. So as I said, they're going through their European thing, but yeah. I asked Shane while you were getting your cold frosty beverage, what matches are you looking forward to on this card?
Oh, I'm looking for the 5-on-5 Survivor Series match. I want to see that.
Which one?
The one with both the men. Yeah, okay. The 5-on-5 men. Just to see like how they book this. I want to see the tag team match. I want to see that one, and that's going to be good. Like with the tag team championships matches. I want to see that. And the one I really want to see that I cannot wait for is going to be, I just want to see the whole event because they're doing such a great job building this whole thing up. And I'm interested now.
Now, is it too early, gentlemen, to see if the Survivor Series is going to set up potential Royal Rumble plans? Question mark? Anybody?
No, I don't think so.
It's not too early to talk?
Hell no. Well, I mean,
we're never too early to talk about the Royal Rumble.
Okay, because we're exactly. we're only three cards away, two cards away from it?
Two cards away. We're in November now, and Royal Rumble's in January. So
right, but I'm just so the WWE. Let me check the WWE pay per view schedule while we're at it here, because the list of the WWE pay per view events as we're going right now. The next one is yes, we're two away from the Royal Rumble. The next one is going to be on my sister's birthday, December 17th, which is they're calling it Clash of Champions. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, not of the champion, just Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions, not Clash of the Champions. Okay. And then you've got Royal Rumble, which is at Wells Fargo, and of course WrestleMania, which is going to be Wells Fargo, which is January 28th. So let me ask you. Who wins the Royal Rumble match, and which brand do you think it will be on? Do you think they give Roman another shot at the Royal Rumble with what's his face?
If they do that, I can guarantee you riots will happen. Yeah, it's going to be bad. This year, it really depends. If AJ Styles is the champion by Royal Rumble, I would take a really big guess and say probably Shinsuke Nakamura is going to win it.
Ooh, okay.
But if he's not, then as much as I hate to say it, I don't have anything against Roman Reigns, but I don't want to see him win another Royal Rumble. If AJ is not WWE champion by then, it's going to be Roman Reigns. Because the whole Brock Lesnar and him thing's already set in stone.
It is set in stone?
Oh, yeah. It's always been set in stone. That's the reason why Brock's held onto the fucking title for so long.
Brian, what do you think about that?
I agree. I think it'll be Nakamura.
Oh, okay. We will see. I think it's a pretty wide open field. Now, Brian, one of the reasons why we also had you on is the fact that we have a very, 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 very interesting documentary this week.
Yes.
On ESPN. I don't know. Is it 2 hours or is it?
I want to say it's 90 minutes.
Okay.
And what it is, it's the newest 30 for 30.
Yep.
And it's called The Nature Boy, and it's about Ric Flair. And because, you know, WWE is all buddy-buddy with ESPN now. Mm-hmm. So we get events like this. And everyone who has read this, sorry, everyone who has watched this documentary has praised the ever-loving heck out of it. It is, I mean, it is warts and all, which it has to be with Flair. It has to be warts and all. But they did an amazing job with making this look as good as it possibly could be. It tells the whole story. It talks about his alcoholism, how distant he was from his family at times, but it also talks about how good of a wrestler he was and how much of an inspiration he was to so many people. And everyone who has seen it has said it's a love letter to Ric Flair.
And it will be on, it's going to be on this coming Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. I don't know if you get ESPN down there, Shane.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. We get ESPN. I don't think I'll be able to watch it though because I don't have it on. I've only got my Netflix and stuff. So,
maybe there would be some way of by any means necessary sort of way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I could watch it on the internet more than likely.
But for us, it will be Tuesday, November 10th at 7 p.m. Tuesday, November 7th at 10 p.m. Pardon me, and can't wait to see this. It's going to be real interesting because you notice they had premieres in New York. And I believe in Atlanta, they had two premieres, and I believe The Undertaker made an appearance at one of them.
He did. And speaking of Atlanta and guys who used to work in Atlanta, I don't know if you've seen this video. You know the WWE is doing the they're bringing back Starrcade.
Yes.
They've decided to do it. They did a bit recently. I had to look it up on YouTube. They got Tony Schiavone back into the old WCW Event Center to go over the card of the new Starrcade.
No kidding.
And I think it was one of those situations where they didn't actually ask him, but he just did it anyway because he has a podcast with Conrad Thompson. And WWE said, yeah, sure, you can do it. And WWE is giving it their full blessing.
So he did it on his own? Or how did it work? Oh, here it is.
Here, I'll find it for you. Hold on.
No, I'm looking at it here. Here it is. I see it.
He ain't lost a step as far as talking. He's still a great broadcaster. Mm-hmm. Everyone says though, when I have my mustache grown out, that we look very similar.
Oh my God! There it is, right there, son of a bee! Look at this. Look at this. He looks a little he looks a little on the heavier side, but yeah. But wow, oh. By the way, speaking of old WCW people, hey, Shane, what the hell is going on with Hulk Hogan and Brutus Beefcake?
I would not have a clue. I mean, I guess these two are trying anything to keep in the spotlight, but yeah, just...
You don't believe the feud's not real?
It wouldn't be the first time that Hulk Hogan's burnt a friend for publicity.
No. Not the first, nor the last. you know?
So I mean, like Hogan's got a long list. I mean, bring in Macho Man Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, Roddy Piper, friggin' Bubba the Love Sponge. I mean, the list just keeps going and going and going.
Yes, 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 yes. But yeah, no, like I said, it's just real interesting. Now, speaking of, you remember we're also talking about, let's talk about the contractual obligation as we're talking about. Because believe it or not, there is a pay-per-view this weekend. Bound for Glory in Canada this weekend.
Yeah, and TNA's WrestleMania.
Or as we like to call it, ladies and gentlemen, Bound for Failure.
Yeah, I know. And all the referees went bye-bye.
I don't know if it was all the referees, but their most senior referee and TNA Hall of Famer and should be WWE Hall of Famer, Earl Hebner. I mean,
yep.
He's gone bye-bye and said sayonara to Impact. So I think I think it's safe to say that a lot of officials and wrestlers alike do not have faith in Impact Wrestling anymore.
No, they are leaving the ship, that which is sinking.
Yeah, we've been saying that for years, though, that this bitch is sinking, and it's like that turd that you try and flush down the toilet, but it keeps popping back up. It's just...
Also, by the way, we also had another release. Sawyer Fulton from NXT got released today. Miz TV is going to open Monday Night Raw from Manchester this week with Kurt Angle as the guest. So, and somebody who I believe Nikki worked with, Les Thatcher, was at the Performance Center this week.
Awesome.
Yeah. Working with the young talent. So.
Speaking of young talent, though, with NXT, oh, goodness.
Yes.
Leo Rush, you poor, poor bastard.
Yeah,
Leo Rush won't shut the tweet up.
Yeah, we forgot about that. Yeah, because when he did a sort of a kayfabe tweet about, because Emma tweeted about being brokenhearted, and he tweeted that, oh, that's what happens when you're not ready for at WWE Asuka. To which basically the wrestling community done shit down his throat. His Twitter throat, mostly. What did you think about that, I ask? Do you think they were right to do so?
In my opinion, I think that he was being a bit of a moron. Because, like, I understand it was a joke. Like, in his mind, it's a joke. Because he's 19 years old. But I found it weird that this guy's 19 years old saying he's got four kids. I'm like, holy shit, dude. What the hell?
He's got four kids?
Apparently, yeah. That's what.
No, that's what he, I don't think so.
Well, let me look this up. Hold on.
No.
That's what he's apparently said, like, according to multiple people, that in his apology to
he's 22,
Emma.
Not 19, number one.
Oh, sorry, 22. Okay, sorry, 22. Well, 22 years old.
According to him, he's got one child, not four.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then.
According to the wiki page.
Some people need to get their goddamn facts straight.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But yeah, because apparently he said that in his apology to Emma. That, you know, he's got four kids himself, and and he didn't mean any disrespect by anything. He was just like, yeah, having a joke, but a lot of the wrestling community pretty much jumped on his thing and jumped down his throat. And according to rumors, so take this with a grain of salt, but had he have not posted that apology, he probably would have been the next one on the chopping block.
I don't buy that. I just think that he was really dumb. He was really, 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 really dumb for doing that. But what isn't dumb?
Some kind of moron.
Yes, he was some kind of moron. Also, speaking of stuff on TV, we had a very interesting Table for Three this week. I did not see it, but I have heard that the Shield reunited for another little dinner and stuff. And everybody had potato chips with everything, you know. So.
Yeah, it was basically Shield Week on the friggin' network, because you had them on Table for Three and you had them on WWE Ride Along. I'm like, shit.
But Brian and Shane, we had to end this week. We're gonna have a little Pixel Nation crossover. Shane,
okay.
Shane, I'm going to talk to you. They announced some Season 4 upgrades, didn't they?
Yeah, the WWE Supercard, as per usual, keeping up with updating everything, have decided that they're going to add some more upgrades to Season 4 of Supercard, and I'm actually looking forward to it. They did pretty sweetly with the Halloween update that they did. Now I'll be interested to see what we're going to get with this Season 4 update.
Which is coming out this month, November. Okay. Now let me ask you this. They've got 250 new cards across tiers called Beast, Monster, and Titan. Okay. Competitors from across the universe. Past and present, including some who may appear in the mobile game for the first time. And Triple H said, you know, there were certain points as a WWE superstar where there's things like you say you made it, right? There's a moment when you get on Raw. There's a moment when you win that first championship. There's that moment that you show your first action figure. There's that moment when you get your first T-shirt. And there's one hell of a moment when you're a character in your first video game. Any rumors that you know of, Shane or Brian? Anybody? Have you heard anything?
As far as supercards?
Yeah.
I don't play supercards, so I wouldn't know about any of those rumors.
I haven't heard any of the rumors. I have heard that with the update coming up, that they're revamping King of the Ring.
Yep. 32 players against 4 groups. Wow.
Yeah, and you're going to have 2 new modes as well. You're going to have a new unified player versus player mode,
right,
in the leagues, and all new Elimination Chamber game mode.
Right. And they're also going to refresh the interface as well.
Yeah, and also they're going to boost up the SummerSlam tier Fusion Chamber in the latest update as well.
Nice. But, put it to you this way. Nikki is going to be a very, very, very happy young lady with that.
I will be interested to see what happens with these new card tiers, because if Beast, Monster, and Titan, if they're supposed to be like higher above SummerSlam 17, then yeah, it's going to be interesting.
And again, that comes out sometime this month. And I'm, for those who play cards, and I know there are a lot of them, they will be really happy for this particular update. Again, we will, now let me just also, with this, also I read somewhere, and I saw it on TMZ, that Alberto Del Rio said that Paige is going to come back anytime now. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, she's been in the Performance Center the like past 3 to 6 weeks. So yeah, she could be returning.
And she's been cleared, right? She's cleared to go.
Oh yeah, she's been cleared. They're just getting her back into her ring form and everything, because she has been away for over a year. So yeah, she could be returning in the next couple of days, next couple of weeks. It's really just really up to when WWE Creative pulls the trigger.
Well, I would probably say, do you think it would be better if she redebuted after Survivor Series or at the Royal Rumble? What do you think?
In my opinion, I think it would be great if she made an impact at Survivor Series and helped the SmackDown women's team beat Team Raw.
Ooh, so you would put her on the SmackDown side?
Well, isn't that where she was? Because like I said, I don't remember where she ended.
I thought she ended on the Raw side, but again, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh well, they've pretty much made it seem like she's the John Cena, so she's a free agent.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, if you're gonna put her anywhere, then yeah, I say put her on SmackDown, because she's gonna have way better matches and opportunities there than if she goes to Raw, because Raw, I guarantee you, as soon as she gets there, she'll get fed to Asuka.
Yeah, because everybody's being fed to Asuka these days. But yeah, I mean, again, we will next week when we come back, Nikki will be back in the host chair. She will be talking about the European Raw, which is all those European Raws are always fun, because the British crowds are going to crap on everything. You know this. There's going to have to be some heavy editing going on, I would think.
I don't know. I think they're going to give Braun Strowman the same babyface reaction he got this past week. So
yep. Oh, I know he is. Oh yeah. By the way, do you think they are turning him face?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
With Kane destroying him and pretty much all the heels ganging up on him, and now him coming back and destroying heels. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that they're trying to make him a face.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Brian, do you think they're making him a face?
Wouldn't surprise me, because they're whooping up on The Miz, who's a heel. I mean, people want to cheer for him, and they have a dearth of big name faces. I think they should turn him face.
So, and again, those European Worlds, we're going to follow the tour. If there's any other big news, we will report on it. But Shane, do you have anything to promote outside of Supercards?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
Brian, that means it's up to you and me. So, let's talk about our show first, which is Pixel Nation, which we'll be recording sometime this weekend, I'm assuming.
Yeah, hopefully Sunday night.
Yes, Sunday night. That will be our last show of the season before you have to go into research mode. Sadly, because you know how it is.
Yeah, Black Friday will be here before we know it.
Uh-huh. And
we'll have reviews of Gran Turismo Sport. Going to have a review coming up for you this weekend. And the usual kind of wit, wisdom, fun, and whimsy that you've come to know and love and expect from us here at Pixel Nation.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, by the way, but let's talk about last week's show. Can you sing the praises one more time of your favorite game of this year, which is Cuphead? Let's talk about that.
Oh, gosh. Okay. If you have not yet played Cuphead, it is one of the most amazing. First, hold on.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it's that time of the year, guys. It is one of the most amazing platformer / first-person shooter games I've ever seen. Graphically, it is in a league of its own, because it is so unique in its design. It is just a phenomenal game. And if you have got $20, $20, $20 of your money, you can buy this game and it will make you happy. It will remind you why you love video games in the first place.
And you have never, in the 5 or so years we've done this, is it 5 years? It's more than that, or something like that. The 5 or so years we've done this, you have never talked about a video game like this.
Well, here's the thing. It's the first game that kind of puts me in the mind of when I was a little kid playing, you know, platformers like the original Super Mario Brothers. It's just a fun as all get out game, and I absolutely enjoy.
Whoop, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you just broke out of there for a sec. That's
yeah, sorry, I was grabbing a drink. But it's a really amazing game, and it just is so much fun to play. And if you have not played a game like this before, you need to play Cuphead, because it is an old school, you know, what they call like a platformer, old school Metroidvania kind of game. And it is just, but the fact that it was, that's all hand-drawn animation, took 5 years to complete, apparently. I mean, for $20, it is a bargain at twice the price, and it is an amazing game.
And we will have a bunch of stories that that I just came over the week. We're talking about Nintendo's good year. We'll talk about Sony almost selling right now 70 million PS4s worldwide, almost 67.5 million. EA is going to try another attempt at UFC. And we may have a new Superman game. That's about enough stories. And of course, Best Buy actually not overpricing the iPhone X, which is overpriced to begin with. Good grief. But we'll talk about that. And we'll be talking about the other shows here on Spectrum One, including the BS Big Show. We will be, you know, we'll be talking about next week. We'll be talking about Week 9 action and the mid-season awards. Over on Touch 'Em All, good grief, wow, poor JD Hernandez. Good, he is not a happy camper right now. I know that much. Brian,
well, neither is Joe Van Ginkle.
Well, he's an Angels fan, so that's what I'm. I won't call him bandwagon, but the word is fair weather to a point. Because the Houston Astros are now your World Series champs. And Justin Verlander is marrying Kate Upton, so he's won twice. And we'll talk about the whole wrap-up there on Touch 'Em All, the season finale there. We Love to Interrupt recorded this week, and we have we previewed the Tournament of Champions. The Halloween stuff on Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal. And
yeah, the Tournament of Champions, which for the first time actually has a sponsor.
Really? I don't think
so. Yeah, it's they're calling it the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions as presented by Consumer Cellular.
I thought the Farmers did the Teachers Tournament or other stuff, so.
Oh, you're right. Never mind.
Yeah, well, you know, so I'm just saying it's another sponsor tournament, but the field is strong. And by the way, do not pencil Austin Rogers as your winner just yet, because this is like through 2 years field. So you got a really, really good field here. That's all.
Yeah,
we got
a field that's. This is a rich field of players this year.
Yes, it be. Yes. Of course, Red State Blue State is coming back very, very soon. I need to talk to Gordon about that. And, of course, all the shows here on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, pretty much everywhere and everywhere. And also, by the way, speaking of WLTI, I hope to be – there's a couple of interviews I have in the works, and I'm also going to be trying to cover – the 35th anniversary panel at the Paley Center here in New York on the 15th, which with Pat and Vanna and some guy named Harry Friedman is going to be there. So there you go with that. And of course, again, you can all hear all the programs at Spectrum One. So Shane, Brian, thank you very, very much for talking wrestling this week with me. I appreciate the time given and the fact that Nikki is on the road. She will be back in the host chair next week, and hopefully I will finally get to be quiet, but who knows? We will talk about that and pretty much everything here. For Shane, for Brian, this is Jason Block here for Nikki Haman here at the NAWC, and we'll see you next week. And, of course, stay golden, Pony Boy.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.